This episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all the Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on Friday, the 4th day of June, 2021. I'm going to be making what will seem to be crazy suggestion to baseball that I swear you'll be thinking about hours after you stop listening to this podcast. I'm also going to do something I'm not usually in the mood to do, and that is give suggestions to the New York Yankees about how to succeed in this year, which could very well be a Yankee pennant, or it could be a year where they miss the postseason altogether. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. And when you get in your car and you have a smart device in there, congratulations on your fine purchase of an automobile. And you can tell that smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I have been reading a little bit. I don't know that much about it. We're just starting to see some of how Major League Baseball wants to crack down on pitchers using foreign substances. You saw things written by John Heyman, stuff written by Bob Nightingale as well, that the league and the owners, they know that the pitchers are using stuff. And apparently it's running rampant. And we can see the result. The result of using whatever the heck they're using is giving them a better grip on the ball, better spin on the ball, and we are seeing pitching dominating baseball in ways that we haven't seen in a long time. We're seeing tons of no-hitters. We're seeing tons of low-scoring games. People are screaming, oh, where's the offense? Where's the offense? Where's the offense? And pitchers are loving it. But teams are reacting to so many great pitchers. They're like, well, look it. Why don't we have this pitcher come in, pitch as an opener? This pitcher will come in, pitch the middle innings and everything because everyone can do it now. It's not even special to throw in the high 90s anymore. It's not even special to have a 10-strikeout game. 10-strikeout games used to be, oh, man, he struck out 10 batters in 9 innings. He struck out 11 batters in 7 innings. Now we call days like that Tuesdays. And sometimes there's people going, really? How many strikeouts did they get? It's just, it's almost shocking when they're holding down the strikeouts to under 10 in a game. And we're starting to see foreign substance use in the minor leagues. You see a bunch of suspensions going on in the minor leagues right now. And you're starting to see the strikeout rates are skyrocketing. The league averages are plummeting. And let's face it, the three things that seem to be embraced in terms of the predictors in baseball, in terms of you're looking to increase your strikeouts, batters looking to increase their walks, and hitting home runs. Those are the three things that have the least amount of action when a game goes on. You're talking about picking the pace of play up. Strikeouts means that's at least three pitches where a ball isn't put into play. A walk is at least four pitches where a ball isn't being put into play. And yes, a home run is really cool and everything like that, but once it clears the wall, I mean, you just watch someone circling the bases. Putting balls in play is where cool things happen. We saw the Billy Hamilton get like a, what was that, a little league home run in that ball that he hit in for the White Sox a few days ago, that crazy play of the rundown between Chicago and Pittsburgh. when balls are hit into play, most of the time, ground ball to second, pop up to the outfield, most of the time we know what happens. But the possibility of something insane or crazy or action-packed happens when a ball is put into play. So baseball wants to crack down on this because it's given too much of an advantage to the pitchers. Now, I'm old enough to remember when the substances that were being used were being injected into the asses of the players. I think I'm allowed to say ass at this point. And you saw the offense numbers shooting through the roof to the point where pitchers were at an incredible disadvantage. We've seen the pendulum swinging like crazy. And there's a crackdown on performance-enhancing drugs and steroids. Now there's going to be a crackdown on the foreign substances used on the ball. I'm going to make a proposal. And you're going to say, oh, Sully's making a joke. Sully's being silly. And maybe I am. And maybe you'll kind of sniff and say, oh, he's doing a clickbait or something like that. Maybe I am. But I guarantee you, when this show is over, and you're done running on the treadmill, doing your chores, going on your drive, walking around the supermarket, wherever the hell I live in your earbuds, hour or so later, you're going to be doing something else. And you're going to think about this podcast and you're going to think, huh, that actually wasn't so dumb. I say, don't crack down on the foreign substances that the pitchers are using. Also, stop cracking down on performance-enhancing drugs. Come on. If we're going to do this, let's do this. The problem was that the batters were using performance-enhancing drugs. Yes, I know pitchers were too, but we didn't see the pitching stats going through the roof. We saw the home run totals getting to the point where 50 home runs used to be a generational event. For the first, from my birth up until the strike year, the year after the strike in 1995, I saw a grand total of 150 home run season. There were two in my lifetime up until that point. For the first 23, 24 years of my life, you had George Foster hitting 50 some on home runs in 1977. You saw Cecil Fielder pulling the trick in 1990. Nobody did it once in the 1980s. Not once. Then by the mid-90s, everybody did it. It became commonplace to have a 50 home run hitter. 50 home runs may not even get you in the top five of the league. We saw home run totals going through the roof and everything. And we all know what was going on. There was PEDs going on like crazy. And the batters had such an incredible advantage. Now you're seeing the pitchers have an incredible advantage. Instead of taking away that advantage from pitchers, give the advantage back to the batters. Make a way to regulate it. I mean, look, we always talk about wanting to legalize pot and everything like that. Find a way to say, hey, we're going to do this safe. You want to use performance-enhancing drugs? We're not doing it in a stall with A-Rod's cousin on the down low. Have a doctor do it. Have a way to say, hey, these are anabolic steroids that we can use in a safe way. Boom. We get the muscles back up, and we're starting to see the hitters hitting the home runs again. Because guess what happened during the steroid era? Do you remember what happened during the steroid era? The stadiums were filled. They saw more money than they ever saw in their life. TV ratings went up. Interest went up. A whole generation was watching the games. And now you're having the batters back with that, and you give the pitchers the advantage of the foreign substances they're putting on the ball. Now we get to see the best spin rates and all the stuff that I don't quite understand that pitchers are doing with the gobbledygook that used to be in Clay Buchholz's hair. Say, regulate that. Here, put the little stuff on your fingers. Boom. Inject that stuff in you. Boom. Do it safely. I want roided up hitters hitting against pitchers who have God knows what on their fingers. If we're going to do this, it's entertainment, folks. If we're going to do this, let's do it. When other people use drugs for entertainment purposes, no one bats an eye about that. No one says, I don't listen to Sgt. Pepper anymore because they were on performance-enhancing drugs when they were writing the songs. Yeah, there was some performance-enhancing drugs when they were writing A Day in the Life. Who listens to Pink Floyd's The Wall or watches the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey and says, yeah, well, I don't know. They didn't do it clean. They didn't do it clean. Taxi Driver. Taxi Driver caused the great cocaine shortage of 1976. And it's a brilliant movie. But he didn't, Scorsese couldn't pass the drug test. So put an asterisk next to Taxi Driver. If we're going to do this, let's have the pitchers who are throwing ungodly pitches going up against the Bruce Banners at home plate who can check swing one to the opposite field over the fence. Why not? Give both sides the advantage and see what you got. Then you have those great pitches and you got those big, powerful hitters. And then we get to see some real confrontations. Think I'm being jokey here. Think I'm being silly. Maybe some things I'm saying tongue-in-cheek, and maybe some things I'm saying 100% seriously. Maybe if we don't do it in a behind-the-scenes way, if we do it in a manner that is upfront, because in so many ways, the things that people dislike about the cheating in baseball is the fact that it's done in secret, that it's done kind of underhandedly. You know, people were mad that the Astros were banging a trash can or the Red Sox are doing whatever they were doing with the cameras and the Apple watches, or the 1951 Giants had a guy out there with a camera in center field when Bobby Thompson hit the home run, or the corked bat that Sammy Sosa used, or the emery board that Joe Negro had in his back pocket. It's the sneakiness that people dislike. So let's remove the sneakiness. Let's remove it and say, yeah, this is what we're doing. You want the best pitchers going up against the best hitters. That's what I want to see. When you launch a home run off of a great pitcher, I remember I watched a game, must have been 96 or 97, when Frank Thomas, it was like maybe an opening day, Frank Thomas hit an opposite field home run off of Randy Johnson, two future Hall of Famers, and it was a great confrontation, and Thomas just powered it over the right field fence, and I remember thinking, that's a legit home run. Well, do you know what? Let's say that. Let's take the gloves off, put the Vaseline on, shoot with clean needles from an actual doctor, and go in there. Come on. This is for our entertainment. Let's go. If you're going to do it, don't remove the advantages. Let's increase the advantages. Again, you may think I'm kidding about this, but I guarantee you, you will be thinking about this later. And if you do think about this, I just want to know who's actually listening. Respond back in Twitter if you think I'm right or wrong and put hashtag ham sandwich. Hashtag ham sandwich. I'll look for that hashtag and tell me your thoughts because a lot of things come to me in the Twitterverse and everything like that. Hashtag ham sandwich and tell me what you think. I want both sides to have the advantage. And then, let me tell you something, baseball will be super exciting. That's the easiest bet you can make. If you're going to make a bet, go to BetOnline. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including baseball, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. Now let's talk a little bit about sports trade. If you haven't heard about it, it's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. No wonder this company is blowing up. It's really blowing up. The site is amazing and it's fantastic. It takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. It's a fair and super exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with sports trade is simple. Players' values rise and fall based on two factors: their performance in each game compared to their projected fantasy points in the game. The more points scored, the higher the player values goes up. Then there's, of course, good old supply and demand. The more shares that are purchased in a player, the higher their value goes up. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com. Discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This truly is the evolution of fantasy sports. I'm thinking you're going to be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action at sportstrade.com. Yankees are going to be playing the Boston Red Sox today, and the rivalry is going to have a little bit of spark to it. You know, it's been kind of dead since the 2018 playoffs when the Red Sox bombarded the Yankees. Just, I'm a little angry that the Red Sox lost a chance to build with a franchise player like Mookie Betts. It was like, who's better, Betts or Judge? It could have been a great thing, but nah, they didn't do it. But give the Red Sox credit. They won on Thursday, salvaging a game against the Houston Astros. The Red Sox, at this moment, are still a wild card team. They are a few games behind the Tampa Bay Rays, two games to be exact, one game back in the loss column, and they're three games ahead of the Yankees in the loss column there. Now, I've been I'm a native New Englander, and I've been a Red Sox fan since I was a kid. I've become less invested in the Red Sox and more just invested in baseball as a whole, which allows me to have enough distance to think about what do the Yankees need. Because the Yankees are a very, very strange team. The Yankees are a team that on paper should be running away with it, I think. Especially when you consider the fact that they have a productive year from Aaron Judge, big pop from Giancarlo Stanton. They have the likes of LeMahieu. Odor's a nice spark on the team. Urshela just seems to get big hits from time to time. Cole, today's loss notwithstanding, has been outstanding. Jordan Montgomery has pitched quite well. Kluber pitched great until he's out, and he's pretty much out for the season. And their bullpen's been solid. I mean, look, I've made it clear my thoughts about Domingo Germán and Aroldis Chapman, what I think about their involvement in the league. But just in terms of their pitching, Germán has pitched pretty well. Chapman has pitched very well, thank you very much. And the likes of Green and Loaisaca and Luis Sessa, Michael King has pitched well. They've had Wandy Peralta's actually pitched quite well out of the bullpen for the most part. This is a team with pitching depth and batting depth. And the thing that I thought was going to be the Achilles heel of the team was their starting pitching depth. I thought it was going to be razor thin and not enough to hold up. And I've been absolutely stunned, even with the Kluber injury, absolutely stunned that since May, how terrific their starting pitching has been. Even when they got swept by Detroit, that it wasn't their pitching that was the problem. And yeah, they dropped two games to Tampa Bay in this four-game set. But when you consider the fact that the Yankees blew a bases-loaded situation in extra innings on the second game of this series. They had terrible base running in the third game of the series, and Gerrit Cole lost the fourth game. You would say, if you read all those things before the beginning of the series, you're like, they got swept in the four-game series. And the fact that they split it showed a certain amount of resolve. But there's something missing with this Yankee team. There's something, the pieces aren't fitting together. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, it's early, but we're in the middle third of the season. And this team needs a spark. I don't think they need another star, okay? Judge is a star. Stanton will be back, and he's a star. DJ LeMahieu is not having his typical terrific season, but he's a really good hitter, and he's probably going to turn things around, okay? They don't need an alpha dog on this team. What they need, and I'm going to go to the Bruce Bochy Giants here. The Bruce Bochy Giants, which are the closest thing we've had to the core Joe Torre years in New York, the Giants had good hitters on their team, great pitching depth. They also had players who sparked the offense. And a lot of times they picked these players up in midseason and created a jolt that pushed them over the top. Cody Ross was an example for that. Marco Scudero, who they acquired midseason in 2012, gave them a spark plug, as both of those players went on to win the National League Championship Series MVP, Ross in 2010 and Scudero in 2012. But the biggest example is when they acquired Hunter Pence. Now, Hunter Pence was never the star of the team, but Hunter Pence was the straw that stirred that proverbial drink. And someday I'll figure this out, how to do this. I'm sure you can do it at baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth, to figure out what the Giants' record was when Hunter Pence played or didn't play. He didn't have the greatest stats. He wasn't the MVP candidate on the Giants. But when he was in the lineup, things happened. It isn't about, oh, he played with grit and his gut and everything. No, I don't care about that. There's lots of grit and guts, okay? I don't know what's in people's guts. All I know is what I saw with the team. Guys going first to third on hits, igniting rallies. He was always in the middle of it, and it sparked the team. There is no spark on this Yankee team. There's no catalyst on this team. No offense to Clint Frazier. No offense to Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is having a terrible season offensively. Clint Frazier's walk-off home run the other day, notwithstanding, is having a terrible year. Gleyber Torres is, well, he's back, and they should find a home for him. And the fact that they have players like Torres, LeMahieu, and Urshela, who can be quite versatile, allows them to take a look out and see who they should get. And I think the other day I talked about some of the Mets' needs, and the Mets should, as I said, should be garage sale shopping, flea market shopping, trying to just get players' pieces to fill in some of the holes and give them some depth. The Yankees need something very specific. An offensive player who can go first to third on singles, and will give the team a little bit of excitement, a little bit of a jolt. And sometimes that happens when you acquire a player who has never played in the big game or who is sitting in a kind of a stagnant situation on a bad team or a non-contending team, then suddenly wakes up. The player that I have targeted in my head that would be the kind of player who would fit in, someone who played all the games last year, is off to a good start this year, and is someone who has speed, in the past has been a 40 stolen base guy, has some power, can play the gold glove defense, and has never played in a World Series before, so he would have a certain, I don't want to say motivating factor, because everyone's motivated. This is a Yankee team that hasn't seen a World Series for over a decade, but maybe be that exciting player that sort of gives the team a little bit of energy. The player is Starling Marte. who is currently languishing on the Marlins. And the Marlins, quite frankly, are right now, they're 6.5 games out, tied with the Nats in last place. The Marlins have dropped their last 6 games. They were floating around contention for a little bit. They've fallen out of it. Someone like Marte, again, he's not going to be the superstar of the Yankees. Remember, like, when David Justice joined the Yankees in 2000, what a spark he was on that team. You see that with players who get a shot, who say, oh, my God, I was playing on a Miami team, and now I'm going to be in New York with a chance to go deep in the postseason. And Marte has some postseason experience. He played in the postseason a bunch of years with Pittsburgh, and he played last year when the Marlins were in the extended playoffs. Put him on this Yankee team. Get him to come in. He's probably not going to play every single day, but get him to be that guy to give the team a little bit of a jolt and stir that offense up. The Yankee offense is stagnant right now. And again, I'm not saying that I'm mad about that, but it is startling to me that this offense has to grind out runs instead of scoring them in bulk. Get a player to spark the team. Marte won't cost the Yankees tons of prospects or money. It's probably a couple of single A players would be able to pry him loose. And you get a really talented player looking up and said, I could play in October this year. I can get used to that. And that's what the Yankees will have to do. And Yankee haters, you better hope that the Yankees don't actually listen to me. And the Yankees may take that into heart, into consideration, and say, hey, we got ourselves someone to give us a nice little boost. Kind of like an energy bar. Kind of like a Built Bar. Now, let me tell you something. I'm beyond reading the usual copy that I read here. I'm holding in my hand a new flavor of Built Bar. There are great flavors of Built Bars. I love the raspberry, the mint brownie, the peanut butter brownie, double chocolate. This is a brand new one. I just got it in the mail. I don't want to brag, but we locked on MLB podcast hosts get Built Bars in the mail because we live the good life. This one is grasshopper cookie. Now, I don't think it has an actual grasshopper in it, and I don't think it has anything to do with kung fu, but I bet it's delicious because all the Built Bars are delicious. But do you know what? They're healthy for you, too. Let's read the label here. It's got 150 calories. That's not bad at all. How many grams of sugar does this have? This has 5 grams of sugar. It has 17 grams of protein and 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carb. I'm going to bite into this at the end. But do you know what? My mom told me, don't read ad copy with a full mouth. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's take a bite of this. Oh, man. This is good. This is also rude that I'm doing this with a full mouth. But you can join in the fun at BuiltBar.com. All right, I'm going to finish this Built Bar. Let's go around the league and hear what happened with some of the other teams.
Hey, all Nash Walker, Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Twins find another way to lose tonight. A little bit unique this time. We've seen some crippling errors. We haven't seen what happened tonight, though. Alberto Celestino running into Trevor Larnach in left field. The ball drops between them. Celestino throws the ball back into the infield, and Dyson scores from third on the overthrow, and that was the ball game. 6-5, Twins lose. Donaldson, couple homers and a double. Salvador Perez had 2 home runs. Jay Happ was awful. I'm sick of Jay Happ. And, you know, at times you can accept some home runs, some hard-hit balls. I mean, what Happ has done over the last month plus, he had an ERA over 8 in May, and June has started very poorly now as well. You can start to accept some of that sometimes, but when you load the bags and you get through Perez finally getting him out, and the bases are loaded with 2 outs, and you being a left-handed hitter, Andrew Benintendi in the back on the first pitch, I mean, what does he do well? I mean, you can ask it for so many Twins players. if you don't do that, what do you do well? It's like the same thing with Anderson Simmons. It's like if you're not like an elite, you know, defensive player, what do you do? What do you do here? J-Hap, what do you do here? Because he doesn't limit damage like a veteran or like Rocco has said he does. You know, he doesn't limit hard contact whatsoever. And he doesn't really get out of jams. Like, he just doesn't really do anything well. So, I don't know. It's just another one of those games. Twins lose again, and we look forward to tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at NashRocker9. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins.
And that is a win in St. Louis. Badly needed for this Red Legs team. Great pitching performance by Vladimir Gutierrez and TJ Antone and Lucas Sims. Really buckled down there in the bottom of the ninth where he had two runners on. You get that bunt into a double play. A little bit of a weird scenario there for the hitter. But hey, you know what? You get the double play. You get the three outs. You get out of game one with a win. That means ain't no sweep happening now. And they're in the driver's seat for the rest of the series. Good way to start. Now let's see what Castillo can do tomorrow. But until then, I'm going to have some fun. All right, well, yeah, need another one of those. All right. Anyway, check it out. Tomorrow's Locked On Reds. We're going to be celebrating a win. And get your Jeff's Junk Mail in at 513-549-0159 or hit me up on Twitter. I'm your host, Jeff Carr. I'll talk to you then.
This is Eric Heisman of the Locked On Astros podcast. And unfortunately, Game 4 was not the same as the first three games of the Red Sox series. It was actually quite a snoozer. And unfortunately, the Astros dropped the last game. Jake Odorizzi, he was not nails. He gave up a Crawford box special. It was a 334-foot bomb, three-run bomb, and unfortunately, that's all the Red Sox really needed. I know Yuli Gurriel got a ninth-inning homer, but you had Christian Javier. He came in, gave up a couple more runs. Unfortunately, the Red Sox went on to win 5-1. So the Astros now will go to Buffalo to play the Blue Jays, but the Astros still took care of business. And you had some bright spots, but unfortunately, Kyle Tucker and a couple other players were not in the lineup today. And the Astros just looked like they didn't have anything against Martin Perez. And the Red Sox just were the better team, but the Astros played a lot better against one of the better teams in the American League. So check out the Locked On Astros podcast later. And make sure you subscribe to Locked On Astros podcast on YouTube. And go Astros.
All right, well, we got a big Friday starting and a big weekend going on. The Indians are hanging around the playoff picture. They're playing Baltimore. That should be a couple of wins for them. The Nats and the Phillies, two teams that really need to dust themselves off. Max Scherzer versus Wheeler of Philadelphia. That's a great pitching matchup going on right there. The Marlins and the Pirates, the Yankees and Mets window shopping series is happening. And you have the Astros and the Blue Jays, Grinke against Ryu, two former Dodgers facing off there, and two teams that have an eye up that second wildcard spot right now. Dodgers and Braves, this is what I thought was going to be a league championship series preview, certainly a rematch. Braves have been slumping, and they're still under 500 right now. And the Dodgers are coming off of that massive, absolute bombardment of the St. Louis Cardinals. Look out, Braves. The Rangers coming off of what was, I don't know, they've been awful. They're going to be playing the Rays. The Rays are not who you want to face when you've been awful. The Royals are back over 500 again. Look out for them. They're playing the Twins, who thought they were in contention this year. And if they want to get back into contention, they better start winning soon. White Sox are still in first place. Dallas Keuchel against Turnbull of the Detroit Tigers. Brewers and Diamondbacks in a rematch of the 2011 Division Series, which was actually a really good Division Series. Peralta versus Peacock on that. Reds, Cardinals, Castillo versus Kim. Cardinals have to dust themselves off of the humiliating loss to Los Angeles and try to catch up with the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be playing the San Francisco Giants. Jake Arrieta, who thought he was going to be a trade chip and now might be pitching the Cubs back to the postseason. The A's and Montas are going against Gray and the Colorado Rockies. Gray is also on the trade block. The Mariners and Angels continue their series. Shohei Ohtani is pitching for the Angels. We'll see how he does. The Mets and the Padres are going to be locking antlers in what could be a postseason matchup. And, of course, the Red Sox and the Yankees are facing off. Nathan Eovaldi is going for Boston. King is going to be throwing for the Yankees. We'll see what happens in that. We're going to see what happens in all of this. So I say give the pitchers Vaseline and give the hitters steroids. And Yankees, get yourself a spark plug. And everyone else, have a great weekend. This has been Locked On MLB for the fourth day of June 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. I'm going to enjoy another Built Bar. You can call me Sully. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.